Heavenly Father, we know that Brother Branham taught us through your infallible word, by your vindication, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would come into the church at the end time to show the church the hour in which it was living, and then reveal the deep, mysterious things of God unto her, which we know that this is that hour just before the rapture. This is that special time of grace that has been given to us, and this is where time and eternity have blended together. This is where your scriptures fulfill, Elijah must truly come, and Jesus Christ must rise with healing in his wings. All of these things, Lord, we realize and we ask this morning that you impress them deeply upon our hearts through the processes of the Holy Spirit working in the Word in our spirit and our minds, that we will not forget but hold above all else, even in a superimposition, even as Paul said concerning the Word, we say concerning Brother Branham, these things always take precedence over everything else, the hour in which we live, because you are here setting your church in order. Help us to know that, Lord, and live daily by it, even moment by moment, breath by breath, because we know that this hour upon us holds great problems. There are great things ahead of us, Lord, that the prophet did not tell us, but we know that he affirmed them in the sense that he indicated that they were there. So we pray that we may be ready, absolutely ready, Lord, for whatever befalls, and we know we cannot be ready outside of the preparedness that you yourself give us. So may we put on that full garment this morning, Lord, the complete robe of righteousness, be fully armed with your word and the instruments that you've given us, which also lie in the word, and that revelation, the strength within us to see it come to pass. We may know this, Lord, and stand steady, stand steadfast, for we realize that this is what counts according to your word. And if we're counted sheep for the slaughter, then that is fine also. That is what you said, and that is what you want, Lord, and we know that whatever comes, there is grace for it, there is power for it. Whatever there is, we are more than able to take the land to enter into what lies ahead of us. So help us in our studies today, Lord, whatever we may glean therein to give us more strength, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to go back and look at some of the things we said previously, just to get you caught up in a little clearer understanding. The last two messages, we looked into what I have called the passive and active faith, which is actually, we know that, as I said, Brother Branham never used that term, and that term is not found in the Bible. I think we came to the realization the last service we had that, simply put, faith is simply faith. When it comes to the truth of the substance, you cannot change the substance of passive faith to another substance of active faith. You don't have two kinds of faith any more than there are two kinds of Holy Spirit. God is Holy Spirit. And for a person to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is actually receiving another portion of the Spirit of Almighty God into the soul, where that seed is, to bring that seed and not only into life as that spirit quickens, but also the ability given to receive the Word of God in complete revelation, so that there can never be any stepping aside or any way that a person could not have a perfect and true worship. Because, you know, that's where Satan lost his ability to have perfect and true worship. It says, iniquity was found in thee, which is a changing or a perverting of the word. So we have this passive faith that we talked about. And we have the same faith in an active manner. It is one and the same. You can't find two different faiths in the Bible. You just find one faith. And what we're dealing with is not simply a faith of man. We're dealing with the faith that God gives, which Brother Branham took from, I believe, 2 Peter, the first chapter, which is the basic to where you go from faith to virtue and virtue to knowledge and knowledge to godliness and so on and so on. So receiving faith is simply the term we use of receiving the revelation and active faith is simply using that faith which we received, having received it from God, perfectly from Him, no strings attached. He gave it to us. So receiving faith is an arbitrary act of God wherein He, in His sovereign will, gives or withholds that faith, which is a revealed faith. It's a revealed faith. Here is where people simply don't understand, unless they really study the Word, that a revealed faith has to do with God Almighty revealing His own truth to the people, and they standing in that truth. And to stand in that truth, then as you stand there, and as Paul says, having done all to stand, your loins, the loins of your mind gird up, and you stand there before God, and having all that you can do, you stand. Now the fact of your standing is your greatest active faith that you can ever produce. In other words, you believe that revelation, you're ready to die for it. Paul the Apostle had a revelation, he died for it. Peter had a revelation, he died for it. We know that Stephen had a revelation, he died for it. He stood there when the stones were being hurled at him, and he looked up, and he saw the Lord standing at the right hand, at Jesus standing at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Of course, he couldn't see God. No man can see God. But no doubt he saw the pillar of fire, the same as John did, the one on the throne, like a pillar of fire. His face lit up like an angel's, and he died very happy in the Lord. And Peter, of course, went to the cross, and they crucified him upside down because he was not willing to be in the upright position that Jesus was. So you can see when you're talking about an active faith and a passive faith, you're actually talking about what am I doing with what I've received from God? How am I reacting to it? How does it influence my life? What is actually going on? So looking at that revealed faith, Brother Branham used, of course, Matthew chapter 16, and wherein he asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter was the one that answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you are Messiah. And you are Messiah in a different way from what we have anticipated. You're different from being the deliverer, and we've always considered Jehovah Elohim the deliverer. We believe that he was the one that came in the pillar of fire to take us out of out of Egypt. And we believe that he's the one who appeared to the prophets. But now we're looking at you and we are calling you Messiah. And that clicks with Scripture. Because Moses said by revelation, there's one coming like unto me who is going to be Messiah, and him you'll listen to. Now this man spoke without an actual revelation of Scripture in the sense that there is no way that he recalled that Scripture of Deuteronomy chapter 18. And there's no way that he could have possibly known that this was the Son of God. Even though we know that he knew from Scripture, I think quite properly, that Adam was the Son of God. And therefore, all those who descended, and he understood serpent seed, I'm quite sure, because the Jews understood that. From John 8, you understand that. He would say, well, now look, I know that you are in that lineage. No, there's no way. Mm-mm. There's no way at all. This is something he never figured, period. And we go on, we'll find out. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Happy are you. Categorically, you are in a class by yourself, Simon, the son of of Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Now Peter's flesh and blood. Everybody around him is flesh and blood. Jesus the Christ is flesh and blood. And he said, no way did you get this in any way, shape or form, outside of Jehovah Elohim telling you. The burst of inspiration that came to him, actually, I believe he blurted it out of his mouth and literally heard himself say it. I can't prove that. I've had that happen to me. Brother Branham said it happened to him on different occasions. I don't believe he's unique, and I don't believe I'm unique for 1 minute. But there's a uniqueness that unless you're a seed of God, forget it. You're not going to say it. And if you did say it under an inspiration, you wouldn't believe it to the extent you'd stay with it. You'd be willing to die for it. Because this becomes your life right here. And he said, I will send to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, you know, your Peter is Petros, a little pebble, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And what it, now Brother Branham brought out what no other theologian ever brought out to my knowledge. I've never read it anywhere, at any place, time or place, and I've had many, many articles on the Gospels. Almost everybody says, because of Paul, that the church is built upon is the foundation of Jesus Christ the righteous. But they forget that he is the revealed word. In the beginning was the word is with God, and the word was God, is Jehovah Elohim. The Brother Branham said, if you make that Jesus, there's three gods. You can't do it. But then it said, the word was made flesh, God himself, the complete word himself, and all that it stands for, was made manifest in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say from that, many would say from Paul, that Jesus is the foundation. And in a limited sense, that is true. He's also the cornerstone. That is also true. But Brother Branham is correct. It is the revelation on which the church is built. Because, and you trace it right back to heaven, Satan stood right there, confused the word, and was all gone. So therefore, if you can be created by God, to the extent that you are to lead in worship, be the chief cherubim, stand right there with the Son of God incarnated in an angel, archangel called Michael, and you can be literally equal with God, and we'll talk about that later, how that works out. An equality, right there, and one word off blows it. Then there is no way that you can possibly have any structure of God outside of the foundation word, which is unchanged, which is a revelation. Can't do it. Now, he says here, and I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom and so on. But with that, I want to read over here in Romans to show you the accuracy of Brother Branham's statement. Not that we disregard it, but every single thing must be taken to the Bible. Because Brother Branham said, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. So, all right. There's nothing that William Branham can say concerning doctrine. But what goes right to the Apostle Paul. And remember the same spirit that gave the scribes, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the ability to transcribe perfectly the thoughts of God without being prophets. That same spirit, when Brother Branham could go back to any of the Gospels. And it had to go back to the Gospels when it was pertaining to the fact of God using an instrument to reveal himself so that the Son of Man could one day come back to earth, which is a ministry. Where Brother Branham said there's a difference between the two words coming and appearing. Appearing is now. He is appearing now. That's why he said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. So we go to Romans then, And we'll start at verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Now this man is stating his active faith. As much as lies within me, my whole strength, my whole life, my time, my energy, everything is given to this revelation. Now this is thoroughly explained in Galatians. And we read it many, many times. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now what is that gospel? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So if you're going to find anything in the gospel, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which Paul himself calls my gospel, fully identifying himself with this which he received from God, just the same as Moses was given the same title, the Law of Moses. That's why Brother Branham could say Moses, Paul, William Branham. The triumvirate, three of them, God working in threes. For therein, this gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now it tells you there's a righteousness of God that is revealed. So therefore this is a revelation. Now notice what we said. The revelation comes from faith to faith. And there's seven church ages. Seven dispensations of the righteousness of God revealed through the gospel. From faith to faith. And it tells you in Ephesians, Paul himself tells you in the first chapter, having thoroughly vindicated himself in the book of Galatians and in the book of Romans and in the book of 1 Corinthians, that same spirit that came in the first age would return with a complete revelation of God once more. That's why Brother Branham said the greatest revelation was there is one God, and you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I ask you a question. Tell me, what did you add to that? How did you produce it? The oneness people said, oh, William Branham is teaching what we believe. Hogwash he was. They've all ended up completely away from God. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Or William Branham lied. He said, I am not oneness. Well, he was oneness. But it wasn't that kind of oneness. Jesus is not his own father. No way, shape, and form. The oneness doctrine that the oneness people teach, the Jesus only, that's what it is no different from the Trinitarian doctrine, where the baby sits on the mother's lap, the Babylonian corruption, and says, the inscription, the child or the baby is the husband of the mother. In other words, he's his own father. Forget it. No difference. You have a trinity in the one, you have a unity in the other, and both of them are a million miles off. Because in the trinity scene, you see the baby on the mother's lap and a halo above it. And the oneness is the same bunch of literal indecent heresy. For therein in this gospel of Christ, and remember, he is the Word, the gospel of Messiah, if you want to get saved, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It doesn't talk about the righteousness of Jesus. It talks about the righteousness of God. As is written, the just shall live by faith. Now there you have something given you in every age whereby you live. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back the truth and unrighteousness. What about these people that say there's no fivefold ministry? Oh, they say you just got to hear tapes and God will give you a revelation. They're part of this system. Deceived and deceiving. Brother Branham sat opposite to them. Yet they have people around them who cannot flee for the sake of their own lives. They'd sooner go to hell, I guess, or do something, or suffer somewhere. Then listen to the word of Almighty God that Brother Branham gave us, thoroughly vindicated. These are things I don't understand about people. Do they believe in vindication, or don't they? They don't believe in any vindication. They just say they do. Quote him left and right. What is the difference? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth and righteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. How did he manifest it in them? It's manifested amongst them on the very grounds they see the absolute, invincible, irrefutable vindication that God gives the prophets. So, all right, now, we'll notice here that Romans 10, 8 to 11 follows what I just read in Romans 1. So, what I'm going to do is read Romans 1 again. So as much as is in me, I'm not ashamed, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In other words, there's dunamis, there's actual power that can be released in this word that'll bring you right into the revelation of Godhead as it must be known from faith to faith. Because remember, you have to start with faith and you end with faith. And remember the scripture said, shall the Son of Man find faith when he cometh? Which is the body of truth. Will the revelation be there that was with Paul? The answer is no. It wasn't. That's why he had to send a vindicated prophet exactly like Paul and bring the truth just again, which is the former rain prophet in the line with the time of the latter rain. Which is right back to Pentecost with all the gifts and all the power, everything else. A baptized small group of people, God appears to bring the word, to bring the church in subjection to the word, to bring them into perfect faith. And this is the hour of perfect faith because it's the hour of perfect revelation and it's also the end of it. Remember, perfection comes in seven, meaning conclusion. Absolutely finished where you can't add a word or take a word. You can't even scratch it. You can't put a pimple on it. That even goes for the bride of Jesus Christ. You can't take away one member, add one member, and you can't put a pimple on her. So what are you going to do with all the tattoos out here? I threw that in because a lot of idiots come. Some idiots could be sitting here now. You younger people want a tattoo or something. Well, go ahead and get it. I'm tough. Don't come to me later on. No, I got no time for you later on. Listen now. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days draw not near, and you say, oh God, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh God, I wish I hadn't done that. So you better be listening now. Now, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. So there's got to be a faith in every single age. Remember, it began to wane in the first age. Down. The fourth age was literally buried. The fifth age began to come back. Six and seven. And the seventh age is perfect faith. They without us cannot be made perfect. What day is that? The day that began in faith to cross over the first church age. Ephesus has returned. Now, for the wrath of God is in heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness, them who hold the truth and righteousness. Now, let's go over here then to the 10th chapter and read the 8 to 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now listen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What if you're confessing a wrong revelation of the gospel? You can't just confess this word with a wrong revelation. There's a million revelations out there. Who's right? I've got lots of books I've read, lots of books in my library. I don't read them anymore. They're sitting in the back out there and sitting over in my house. They're sitting all over. I'm ready to junk just about everything I got. I'm not interested. Because the revelation is wrong. They say the church is built upon Jesus Christ. You better watch it. Brother Branham said that term means Jesus Christ, who is the Word. And it is the truth. If the faith of Jesus is a faith, and we have that faith, and that faith is requisite for the revelation, the foundation, the building, so the superstructure of our lives can come upon it, and Jesus Christ himself had to have it, then he can't be other than a cornerstone. Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ the Word. And the same one coming back, and we'll meet him in the air very, very shortly. Now, the Word is nigh to your mouth. In their heart, the Word is you preach. You confess and so on. For with the heart man believes the righteous, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now you notice in here that your faith requires a confession. Now what is your faith? Three gods? Jesus only? Everybody's got a little bit of God? That's how he's present? And our love is going to perfect the church? How many years do we go through before this nonsense goes out of our heads? Well, if you're not seed, the nonsense will never go out of your heads. You'll never be able to take it. So don't pretend. Because the more you pretend, the greater wrath of God will be accumulated against you. Judgment faces everybody, so don't try to escape it. In fact, Brother Branham said, we're going through the judgment. How often he said, you sing that song, I'll go with you through the judgment, you're doing it now. Why? Because the judge appeared. If Jehovah Elohim didn't come down, he's not the judge. You tell me who is. You tell me who that pillar of fire is. Not that the pillar of fire is God. That's just a Shekinah glory. That's just a glory attendant upon the personal presence of God. That fire is not God. Well, the Bible says it's a consuming fire. Don't let that throw you for a loop, though. He's a holy, he's spirit. And he can consume if he wants to. In fact, he annihilates. See, how can God annihilate? People are so foolish. He just withdraws his word and it's gone. Read your Bibles. Didn't the Bible tell you all things were made by the Word and all things are maintained by it? Then what if there's no maintainer? It's gone. In other words, every single thing right today lives by God, even the rocks with those slow-moving atoms, moving so slow you can't tell they're even moving. Let him remove his Word and see what happens. That's why let you and me apply his Word in faith and see what happens. That's the thing right there. We're talking about active and passive faith. The Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now down below it says, in verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Full five-fold ministry right there. Then how come some people believe they don't have a five-fold ministry? Of course, they think they're the whole thing. I'm not a pastor. I teach. You can have the rest of it. How should they preach except they be sent? That's the whole thing. How many were sent? As is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, which is the gospel. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. If Isaiah said, Lord, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now watch. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And hearing means understanding. And there's no way except God gives you that revelation, you really understand the Word. Or how can you sit here for 15 solid years and still not understand the presence of God? It's Jehovah Elohim who came down. And He came down to a people who were seed. And He came down at Pentecost to the seed to fill them with the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know one thing. If you're going to get back to the original stage of Pentecost, you are going to have a seed of people fully baptized with the Holy Ghost, knowing some of the things of God, but in the wilderness concerning doctrine, because they did not know doctrine until Paul came. Come on. Come on. Father Brandon said, we've got to get back to Pentecost. Are you back with the pillar of fire? Is baptize a group of people with the Holy Ghost and let a certain group out? If you're part of that, He's going to have to come back with the prophet. So 99% of the Branhamites want to run around talking in tongues and everything else and calling it God. Come on, get your Bible. Prove me wrong. Come on. I'm not a hard guy. Just get with it. Show me. Brother Branham said the Corinthian church was in utter confusion. The utter confusion still reigns. There's a question on gifts here. We'll go into that later. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Understanding by the Word of God. The church has only two sources of perfection. One is the blood that scatters sin. The other is a fivefold ministry that preaches the truth. Look it up. Brother Branham said so, and I can prove to you by Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Remember, the book of Ephesians is the book that you want to read as no other book. Because chapter one is the whole eternity to eternity in a nutshell. And from there on, there's a filler that applied only to a local church. But it still applies just because we're back to the Ephesian age. Now, we read on that portion. So then, we go to Hebrews chapter 11. So you begin to understand this faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, which was very definitively the body of doctrine. And remember, Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, having for doctrine the traditions of men. And the word doctrine means teaching. So if the teaching are merely traditions handed down, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Pentecostal, I had this experience, I had that, I'm sorry. You could be wrong. Especially in this last hour. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now notice that these people had faith. And it was through that faith that they had only that they got a good report. So therefore, if you are in the faith, the revealed faith, that is the only way you're going to get any credit with God whatsoever. So what if you're outside the body of truth? What if you say, I don't believe this vindicated man? Well, you watch my smoke. I tell you, I know what the Word of God says. He said, go out and heal the sick and raise the dead, and I'm doing it. He also said, depart from me, you works of iniquity. Oh, well, they were backslidden. How do you know? The Bible doesn't say so. He said, I never knew you. If they were backslidden, he had to know them one time. And we have to keep on knowing him. Because the backslidden heifer, and the farmer got the rope around her neck, and she puts her feet in. He said, I'm going to pull one, maybe you pull the other. I'll tell you one thing about it. I've never seen a calf win yet. So if God puts his feet in, gets a rope around your neck, you think that God's going to let go of you? You're going to win? You'll choke, you'll die. But you'll get there. Because he won't lose one. So I'm the exception. I'm going to see that God loses me. That's exactly right. You never were part. You're a Cain. You're spitting right in God's faith and denying it. We'll talk about that this morning if you get time too. And show you just how you can worship and do it that way too. So it says right here, they obtained a good report. Good things were said about them, written down. And the book of remembrance was open concerning them. And that's what it said in Malachi. The first thing in that book was, they are God's jewels, and they were talking to each other in a certain way. They were enunciating and showing forth their faith, which was the revealed word of Almighty God. I don't talk like a Pentecostal. I don't talk like a Baptist. I don't not talk like a Jehovah's Witness. I don't talk like anybody but William Branham. And thank God. And you can laugh and say, well, you're a sect. Well, fine. What are you? You're an insect. I know what you are. God have pity on you. I'll stand before God with my hand raised, this Bible open. I believe what I believe. I'm standing right here ready for judgment on what I'm preaching this morning, and it's on every single tape. There's about over 1,000 of them. Some have been corrected. That's okay. For the word always corrects the believer. Now he says, in here, through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So where does Darwin come in on that? So-called science, where does it come in on that? You're already judged. How many scientists are going to go to heaven? That's a good question. I can't answer that, but you better believe I'm not looking for them. Unless they're like old Doc Rimmer. He was with the federal government for many years. Highly educated man, an archaeologist. He wrote many books. Archaeology proves the Bible. That there is a God of justice and judgment. Right on down there. Even Shanefield, the guy that wrote the Passover plot. His New Testament is one of the best testaments I've ever read. And he said, the Bible's right. As far as history and the literal, actual record is concerned. But he didn't believe it. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible distinctly says to us that people get angry with God, and God allows the wrath of man to praise him, and the remainder of wrath he doth restrain. Here is a reprobate Jew, unless he's a seed and we don't know and he gets converted, hurling his anathema against God, but at the same time admitting the New Testament is correct. If you haven't read it, maybe you can still get it. It's one of the best ones I've ever read. Same as the Monsignor Knox, the Catholic. His interpretation of the book of Acts is beautiful, the best I've ever read. It's better than a Wild West story for being exciting. Most Protestants can't do that well. All right. So, a little further. Now, here. We look here and understand that faith actually is this revelation that these people walked in. And it starts with believing in God, which they do believe in God. Now, with that, we go to the fourth verse, and it says, by faith Abel offered unto God more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying to his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, here we have two people worshiping according to their revelation. One had the revelation of a blood sacrifice. The other had a revelation, I don't need any blood, I'm exactly fine the way I am. And that's your serpent seed right there. They deny the blood. They can't help it. They don't want the blood. And if they do come to the place where they believe there's the blood, they'll pervert it and put it some other place than where it doesn't belong. This man was offering a first fruit offering. Because it says his sacrifice was excellent. So it had to be something in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it's excellent. But the point is this. It can't be excellent in the perfection in the eyes of God for you and received by God from you unless it's placed where God wants it placed. Number one comes the blood, then comes the first fruit offering. Because when you get your first fruit offering, you're looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're looking at your resurrection also. You know something? The first early church, Corinth, had people teaching others their resurrection was over and denying it. See, how could it be? Look around you and ask the same question, how can it be? If you look around today and you know what is going on, in the light of the absolutely irrefutable, it's easy to see how they could deny a resurrection or deny anything else. There's no problem. The big problem is so few see this message. So few can come alongside of it, even to any degree whatsoever. Now let's go also to the 5th and 6th verses. By faith Enoch was translated. He should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For he had this, before his translation, he had this testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, how in the world can God testify to this fella unless he first testifies to God in pleasing God, which is without faith, you can't please him. You got to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder, and you can't have that without a revelation. And that's what he's called in the book of Ephesians, the spirit of revelation. Now, if he's a spirit of revelation then, he had to be a spirit of revelation in the beginning. He had to be all the way down the line. So without a revelation, you can't please God, because first of all, you don't even know who God is. Now, I said, these people over here, you got to believe that God is. Well, God is what? Three gods, one God, two God, three, two, four gods, what? Without faith you cannot please him. Must believe your word seen. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir to the righteousness which is of faith. Now notice there again. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen. That's a revelation right there. Because how could Noah, by his own faith, reach out and say, now, Lord, I know you're going to have a flood. Lord, you should bring a flood upon this earth, and I'll just work it out. It had to be a revelation, and the Bible says that it was. That God spoke to Noah and said, build an ark. And what happened? Noah believed him. That's all. So he built an ark. In doing it, he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In other words, there is a righteousness which is by faith, a righteousness which God gives us, and nobody can do anything about it because it is something that is given to us of God. I think it's over here in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5. For God hath made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made a sin offering for us, that we might be made become the righteousness of God in him. Now, how do you get that? You believe it. On what grounds do you believe it? Because it's a revelation to you. Most people don't even have that revelation, even in this message. that the blood of Jesus Christ purchased and scattered sin till there be no evidence whatsoever, then how can you make a man a sinner? How many believe the fact that Brother Branham said there'll come a time when you find out you always were saved? How could a seed be lost? There's no way God could lose a part of him, and the body would be incomplete. It couldn't be done. Now, let's go further. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out in the place where, which he should after receive his inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Now, here's what you're understanding about this faith. You are living in this faith and by this faith. And when you do, everything around you is strange to it. You're going to say, well, how could God be just and do this? How could God be in this? Why would God do that? Oh, don't tell me these lovely people out here. See, you aren't born again. You're not born again. I can prove it. You're asking questions. You don't ask questions. Faith does not ask questions. Except to clarify what you really believe you're standing on as the true revelation and you want to know more about it. But if you say, well, the shout is not the message, you question it. And I've explained it so thoroughly, it's pitiful. You're not born again. You're not born again. The born again says this is vindicated. You don't have anything to do with it. Except reject it if you're not a seed. See? Say not in thine heart. Who shall bring him down from heaven? Say not in thine heart, who shall raise him from the dead? Say not in thine heart, how does William Branham know these things? Say not in thine heart, how is the Apostle Paul get so and so? That's within the depth of your soul you're questioning. I thought that was a gene from God. How can God question God? Now, I know your mind can get in there, but you'll throw your mind out. Now, it said this fellow sojourned. It meaning it was a temporary condition in which he was existing. So I'm not here forever. No, he said, I'm not here forever. He said, I'm only here for a little while. But it's in a strange country. Now, he was supposed to be there. But it was strange to him. Why? Because he now is lifted up in the revelation. That's like Brother Branham said concerning divine healing. He said, when it's been revealed unto you, you're healed. He said, you're healed. That's why the Bible tells and warns you. People are going to look at you and they're going to wonder why you don't run to the same extravagance that they run to. I marvel when people say they're full of the Holy Ghost can watch some of the junk they're watching and everything else they're into. It's just chaff. You got no feet in that stuff. Chance to come to church, go someplace else, fine, go ahead. Chance to discuss the word, oh, I got other things, fine, go ahead. If you think you got a veil over you, some great big garment like that, an Arab tent that people can't look through and see, I've got news for you. Everyone's living a life that's so thoroughly manifest in this church, hey, don't kid, try to kid anybody. You can't even be a hypocrite anymore. Everything's apparent. If it's face to face, my brother, my sister, then there's nothing hidden anymore. So let's not pretend it's hidden. Let's not pretend we can waltz around something anymore. You get to the place you can say, I'm an ascetic. Everything is strange, but you're not like the nut. They're so ascetic, he couldn't tie his shoelaces. He's so wrapped up in God, he'd forget to tie his shoelaces. Well, we don't have shoelaces anymore, but if he fell and broke his neck, I'd laugh at him. He deserves it. That's stupidity. That's not being ascetic. That's just stupidity. You don't get so wrapped up in God you can't earn a living. You're so wrapped up in God you can't do this and you can't do that. I wonder some of the things you would do and I would do. We're not so wrapped up in God, see. Just hogwash. Hogwash. No, you listen. There is a place where you realize there is vocation and avocation. The vocation is the true calling, and avocation is just what you do for a living. Our vocation comes from God to live this faith, this revelation. To die for it if necessary. Not that we're perfect. If we were perfect, we would not need a Lamb on the throne pleading for us, interceding. No. We're talking now about what God has ordained that you and I are now put in a position of perfect standing before God. The blood scattering every sin. Righteous as God is himself. No longer looking at our bodies, full of the Holy Ghost to get us out of the ground. Looking at our souls that are completely brought back to God and joined one spirit. It's God's spirit. And understanding that. So the man says, I am as righteous as God is. And we better be. Because if we don't have his righteousness, what have we got? You see the pure logic when Paul said, I have become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. If I am not one with him, and he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, did I make him dirty, or did he make me clean? Have I been brought back and bought back? Or have I not been? Now you've got to recognize you are a sojourner under those conditions. Because every element out here would try to deny it. But there is where we stand in our faith and our confession. Our confidence. We'll get to that scripture later. So, now let's keep going. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Find that in the book of Genesis and I'll eat it. You can't find it. I can go to the book of Acts where Philip is preaching and he said, though God called Abraham and said, every place where you, your sole of your foot touches, that is yours. Abraham never got it. Nope. Never got it. But he looked for a city. You can't find that in the Bible. Which goes to prove when Brother Branham said, even if the prophet tells you something you can't find in the Bible, it's true. What about it? See, if you don't catch these things, you simply can't rejoice in this word and what Brother Branham brought vindicated to you. You haven't even got a clue to it. You got to believe, my brother and my sister. And that believing is not believing in ourselves. It is believing in him. Okay. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let me tell you something. She never believed until she got slapped down. Now, what did Brother Branham say Hebrews 13 and 8 was? Genesis what? 18, right. And that's where she got slapped down, right? Before the fire. And the bride gets slapped down in this age. Because you saw what you never saw before. And you heard what you never heard before. And you found out you were so wrong. And you weren't believing God at all. You just thought you were believing. But now you do. But now you do. You believe in the one and the true and the living God. And you know that He had a son way back there. And you know, I just set the stage for you to understand when Brother Branham said, if the prophet says it, it's not in the Bible, you better believe it. And no man ever told how that Jesus came forth, the only begotten Son of God, born of God, except Brother Branham said the light form. Hallelujah. One of the mysteries that was not known from before the foundation of the world, and we have it. Now, why aren't we screaming and crying, running around? Because we're listening, and we want more. We wouldn't want to spoil a sacred moment by getting carried away by emotion, because it's too deep for emotions, my brother, sister. You don't get this by emotion. You get it by divine revelation. It gets in your soul and says, that's right. I've got it. That's right. Oh, yes. Now we're beginning to get somewhere. Let's go to the 23rd to 38 verses of the same scripture. This will begin to let you know that this faith that you have, you will live it. This passive faith that you got as a gift by grace gets a hold of you. You begin to move down the road as sojourners. You're not worried now what's in this world. You're worried about the next and the things of God coming into your life. By faith, Moses, when he was born, and so on. And he didn't esteem the riches of Egypt. He esteemed the treasures of Christ. He forsook Egypt. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Oh, they say, what a stupid thing. Get a sheep and sprinkle the blood. Ha! We got physicians here and they can take care of any black plague. We got penicillin, oromycin, and we use garlic by the ton. That kills anything, even the people that smell my breath. Why, yes. They all died. They made a joke of it, don't worry. Pastor Farrell and his bunch, they all laughed. They said, listen, we brought blood too. Look at there. We brought lice too. We did this. Oh, come on. We can do these things. But they couldn't stop the second death, my brother says. They couldn't stop the death of the firstborn. And if the death of the firstborn means no life, period. Because firstborn means the extension of life. And Egypt was gone. Yeah. I'm looking for the firstborn from amongst the dead. Hallelujah. We're going to be there. Now, read on a little more. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down. By faith, the harlot Rahab, she never perished. Why? Because she believed. She said, hey, these people got something. I better throw my lot with them. What shall we see? Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. Now, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Look at, stopped the mouths of lions. And here is where you can see that your passive faith, your revelation, causes you to live, and you will live by it, and you will obtain the promises of God. You will do what God wants you to do. Now, remember, back here I read to you, by faith, Abraham obeyed. The obedience of faith. You cannot obey faith unless you have faith to obey. And if you have that faith, you will obey it. His brother Branham said, you say you believe me, why don't you obey me? Now the same thing goes today. There isn't one of us that cannot walk in the light of the scripture. There is not one of us who hasn't got Galatians 2 and 20. I love it. So you read it. I've been crucified, not am crucified. Christ is not crucified. He's already been crucified and risen. Never to be crucified again. They crucified the Word now. I have been crucified with Christ. And Brother Branham said it. He was identified with Him. He died with Him. He paid for sins in Him. He rose with him. That's from a man where God puts his words in his mouth. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the revelation. I live by what he gave me. He knocked me down to give it to me. He busted me. And I was glad to be knocked down. And he said, I've never been disobedient to the heavenly vision. What is the heavenly vision? Elohim in human flesh. Yeah. So, nevertheless I live. Just live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Have you got a revelation of the Son of God? The oneness make him the Father. The Trinity make him part of a three. What is your revelation of the Son of God this morning? Can you accept that which was given, not in the Bible, in the mystery from before the foundation of the world, before there was a speck of stardust, as Brother Branham said, he should have said before there was an atom. He finally got to it. Nothing to form out of, a light forms. And there's only God there to form from it. A part of God. The first begotten. The only begotten. This is the one time that God himself gave birth. From then on, it was Adam and Eve. Yep. That's what he did. In the garden, he said, let's make man our image. He's talking to Jesus, the Son. Somebody said, Brother Branham said cherubim. Find that somewhere. You know, anybody can say, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said. Come on, bring it up where he said it. I've been told a lot of hunky-dunky stuff. It's ridiculous. Implausible. See? Okay. The obedience of faith. If you have a true revelation, and in that true revelation, what will we find? Well, what I read back here. In the 11th chapter. Very, very clear. Now, what did they do? Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lies. Now, how is there such a thing as the doing of righteousness in the worship and the sacrifices? 1 John 3rd chapter. The same Spirit of God that talked to John talked to Paul. Why did he slay his brother? Because his brother's works were righteous. The kingdoms of this world will fall, and we are going to take over. But thank God, not like some people think, because I don't want to come back and take over nothing. I want to start fresh where we messed up in the Garden of Eden. Who wants anybody under anybody? Don't look at me. I am no leader of nothing. The best I can do is lead myself to the trough, and I hope I got enough brains to that to guzzle with the rest of the creatures. Who wants to rule over anybody? Ruling and reigning with Christ, my brother and sister, is subduing the earth, raising good gardens, building good homes, living at peace with your neighbors, learning more of the things of God, rejoicing in Him, being free from all these encumbrances. Man, you think I want anything to do with you? And, you know, except to love you, and you and me be friends. You are so wrong. I don't have an ounce of anything in me I want to take over on anybody. Just say, I could say, get out of my way. That's about it. Now, I want to look at a couple more scriptures here, so we begin to get a few things lined up. Now, one of them is over here in Matthew 17 and 20. And when I get through with this, we're going to quit because that's all I've got time for. 17 and 20, it says here, and Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Okay. Now let's find out what the Apostle Paul says about that. And that's over here in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and better get the 13th, not the 15th. And what it says here is, and though I have all faith, Jesus said, grain of mustard. Paul says, all. So I could move mountains. So now we find there's no such thing as big faith or little faith. Because if a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain, and all faith can move a mountain, then the answer is simply faith moves mountain. And it hasn't got a thing to do with greatness or smallness. It simply has to do with you and me using our faith. Now, let's go a little further before we get a wrong understanding of this, because here we are in Romans, the 12th chapter. Now, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So therefore, if I have the revelation from God, if I have that measure of faith in me, remember this one thing, I got it from God. It's by grace. I didn't do a thing for it. Given to me solely because God wanted to give me. Now he said, look it, I've given that for a purpose. The purpose is not only that you're born again, but the purpose is that you obey me. The purpose is you grow up in the faith. The purpose is you become to a mature and a good, fine Christian. See? Now, and as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now watch right there. He's telling you everybody has a measure of faith. But he says everybody doesn't have the same position. Now watch what he says. And so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. So that means whatever faith we have, whatever ministry we have, we're all ministering toward what? The common good. This is not communism. This is spirit. And it's not spiritism. It's not spiritualism. It's the spirit of Almighty God in the temple, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride. Okay. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. A free gift. Privilege. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. In other words, here's the thing. If you are to prophesy, you'll simply do it. How are you going to ask God for a measure of something that God does not want to give you? How are you going to ask for a gift that God doesn't say is necessarily yours? See, you're already classified. And you're already in position. If you're an eyeball, you're not an ear. If you're an ear, you're not an eye. It's just that simple. Now, everybody's mouth to testify and confess the doctrine of the Word of God. Now, or ministry, wait on our ministry. He that teaches on teaching, he that exhorts on exhortation, he that giveth due simplicity, he rules with diligence, shows mercy, and so on. And what do? You just do it naturally. You just do it naturally. Now, that's the scripture. But when you get out of order, and you say, bless God, I've been told here, heal the sick and raise the dead, I'm going to do it. When Brother Branham categorically said, everybody does not pray for the sick. The Bible categorically tells you that. You cannot take one scripture and use it against another. Because if it's a body scripture, it means it's going to be in the body. A gift in the body is in the body. And Brother Branham said, you may prophesy one time, never do it again. And you can speak one time in tongues, never do it again. You can have a word of wisdom one time, never have it again. I don't understand these things. I only understand this. They're there, and we will use them if God has given it to us and wants us to use them. They are there as we walk in the light. Because it's body function. My body tells me when I'm hungry. My eyes tell me what I'm seeing. My ears also hear things. My mouth knows how to talk. My kidneys can react. And there's something radically wrong when my kidneys react improperly. Or my mouth flies open improperly. Our body shakes. The body of Christ is somatic, which means healthy. Now, and let love be without being hypocritical. Then there's a love you don't have to force. Huh? Well, come on, it's a body ministry. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Now, it tells you, 12th chapter, 12th verse, the body is one of the many members. All members of being of that one body, being many are one body, so also Christ. One spirit baptized into one body. Doesn't matter. All made to one to drink into one spirit. For the body is one member. The body is not one member, but many. The foot say, I'm not the hand, I'm not the body. Is it therefore not? Right down, run his head. You see, each and every one has a certain particular part. And then it says here, verse 23, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable. We think. We think. We don't have a thing coming. If God made you a foot, you should be a very happy foot. Haven't you heard about happy feet? I have. Some ad in the paper somewhere about happy feet. It's a I know what it is. It's a sock. I bought those socks in Canada, happy feet socks. They have nice little cushions inside. I love them. I got happy feet. Why shouldn't my feet be happy? I'm taking care of them. My feet aren't happy if I don't take care of them. My hand's happy if I take care of it. Everything's happy if I take care of it. What if God is taking care of me? Should be a very happy body of Christ, shouldn't we? Now, we think be less honorable. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, God says he compensates. If God compensates, then why does somebody want to preach when he's not called? Why does somebody want to be what he's not supposed to be? Why would he want it if God compensates? If God compensating you this morning, and he is, why would you worry about anything? You're fully compensated. Huh? You know, why is there all this aggrandizement, this hogwash that's in Pentecost? Everybody trying to be a leader, everybody trying to be something. Hey! God doesn't owe anybody anything because he's already given us such a superabundance to draw upon. They were trying to bankrupt him by our foolish ways. We can't even do that. He's so good and gracious. We have an abundance. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Remember they went to battle? Those that stayed home got an equal share as those that went out and got scar wounds and a dagger in their ribs and their heads about knocked off. And they came back all limping and gory in a mess. And they thought, oh boy, and I got to give this jerk that sat there 1/3. And this other guy 1/3. And all I guess 1/3 for going out there and risking my life and getting all these knots on my head. And I got my eye gouged. Exactly right. Sorry about that. So then there's no big ones, are there? Oh, I've done great bad. I've done this, I've done that. You can get guys coming by, say they did things right, they did. They're brown on my bunch, and they blame they haven't done one thing. Except lie. And been in filthy sins like homosexuality. And that guy will never live that down as long as I'm living. He doesn't deserve to anyway. See? Now, watch. Whether one member suffer, all suffer with it. One is honored, all rejoice. Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, apostles, prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healing, helps come and so on. And what Paul's showing you here, amongst the fivefold ministry and everybody, there is a common denominator, a leveler, where there are no big ones amongst us. And William Branham stood right there. And he claimed, like Moses, God was in him. He was veiling God and veiling that word. And he was God to the people. And he said, there's no Pope, there's no Holy One, there's no big one here, no little ones, just the Holy God. The great leveler. So there's a naturalness in the body in all of these things we're talking about. So we see very clearly in Scripture that faith acts as a revelation granted by God, and that same dynamic revelation is our faith, by which we can apprehend the promises of God as we walk in the light, even as He is in the light. Even as Brother Branham said, when it is revealed unto you that you are healed, you certainly are healed. All promises of God must be revealed to us, and there is no faith to apprehend them. Take, for instance, the promise of healing in the atonement. How many really believe that healing is in the Scripture and in the atonement? Not many. And those that do say, which there are a large number, by the way, but I'm talking really believe. The majority of Baptists, 60% believe. Anglicans, about 75%. Pentecost, about 99%, if not 100. All of us here believe in healing. We believe in the atonement. There's no problem with it. But then you get a bunch that deny it. And they say, oh, I believe that you can be healed, but it's not in the atonement. And they say, there, you're wrong right there. It is in the atonement. See? And there are those, when God heals, says it's the devil. The Church of Christ. What about them? What about rapturing faith? Brother Branham said the rapture had to be revealed to us because we were not ready for 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Do we believe the rapture revelation? The Lord Himself descend with a shout? And remember now, the Lamb's on the throne. He said, the Lamb came from behind the throne when that great furore was in heaven. Who is worthy to open the book? Who's going to do it? They looked above. There was no man below the earth. There's no man in the earth. There's no man anywhere around. They looked all around. And the Lamb came for him. And he said, what is he? A man. I thought he was God. So God never came forward. The third person never came forward, did he? The second person, the Son of God, came forward. In a glorified human body. No more nor no less. And he took the book out of the hand of one sitting in the throne. That's Revelation chapter 4, Revelation 5. Ripped off the seals, handed the book. The Father came off the throne. He climbed on the throne. So where's the Lamb? He's on the throne. Who came down? Elohim came down. The one in Revelation 4 and 1, the Revelation 5 and 1, is Revelation 10 and 1. Why? Because he's got the rainbow. He's got the covenant. Now, why should he not come down with the covenant? He better come down with the covenant because it's time now to put all things under the feet of his Son to give him that bride in the millennium. The things are promised to him. So God came down with the full promised word for the Son, for a bride. And the word shout is klusma, which means a command. And the same word klusma is in 1 Corinthians 15, which means subjecting the church to Jesus, putting all things under his feet. Can you believe Elohim is here bringing the bride together to be under the feet of Jesus? Everyone but God himself under the feet of Jesus. To make that glorious physical pyramid that's being spiritual molded now. Now, if you don't believe that, I can't argue, because I can only say what Brother Branham said and go to the Bible to find it, and I found it. You don't have to believe it. You can find what you want for yourself. But for me, I have no problem. I have no doubts. And I can say this, if this isn't it, I'm not interested. When you come to the place where you don't want to look, you are willfully blind. And my Bible said there is none so blind as my righteous servant. Huh? Come on. Come on, it's the Bible. I'm quoting you the Bible. Completely blind to everything but the covenant. I feel real good. I don't know about you. But I've got great peace in my heart. He said, Brother, what if it's false? What if yours is false? Where's your scripture? What are you doing about it? There's a vindicated man. Call him the devil. Go ahead. I don't mind. That makes me happy. You know why? Someone's got to call him the devil. They called Jesus the devil. They said, is not this the son of David? They said, no, that's the other guy. You think they didn't know Christ and Antichrist? Come on. Certainly. But when you can't tell Christ from Antichrist, and there is that possibility, and if this isn't Christ, then where is he? Because that spirit has to come into the church just before the resurrection and the rapture. So we become a part of the second half of the first resurrection of the first fruits. You tell me then what it's all about. I've told you what I believe it's all about. And I got no fight with anybody here. I just preach rough because these tapes go everywhere. I figure all told there's about 2,000 people minimum that hear these tapes. And I don't care if there's two hear the tapes. Or 2 million. That's no nothing to me. My problem is with me. Your problem is with you. Now remember, Brother Branham said one little thing about this faith we're talking about. And he said, you say you believe me, and why don't you obey me? And Paul called the faith of Abraham the active part of it, where it began to work in your life and work in my life. He called that the obedience of faith. And it starts this morning with you believing the revelation Brother Branham gave. Whatever way you believe, that is your business. And I got news for you. You will tell people what you believe. You will. If you're like some of the left here, you'll say, Lee Bale believes in two gods. You can't help yourself. You've got to because you don't have the revelation. And if I sit with you and write it in iron on tablets of stone and hit you over the head with a crowbar, I can't pour it in. You'll still say, Lee Bale is preaching two gods. And I will quote you, Brother Branham, and go verse by verse and sermon after sermon, and you'll still say, Lee Bale is preaching two gods. And if I tell you that Jehovah Elohim is here, the person himself, the same one that came down and invested himself and incarnated himself in Jesus Christ, the same one in Paul, the same one in Moses, the same one in William Branham, you say, nah, I don't believe the presence. No, he's in all of us. I got news, he ain't none of you. And Brother Branham said, there's just one person going to do this. It's not going to be a group. It'll be one person. Can you take John 14 and 12 and believe absolutely positively? Right down the line. Talk with Philip. He that seen me has seen the Father. Greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. Can you take that as one person? You have to justify yourself and say, well, the whole church is going to do it, you know, really. Bible doesn't say, it says he. It doesn't say she either, it says he. So where's Catherine Kuhlman today? Amy Semple McPherson? Even Evangeline Booth? Nothing against them. That's up to God. But they're forbidden to handle the word. Huh? What did Cain do? He handled the word. Come on. I can show you the scripture. He handled the word. And I can show you Satan told Eve things that God hadn't yet told her. Right on the target. Huh? If you don't love Jesus now for sending a prophet, whomsoever I send, you don't receive me. You don't see what we're talking about. Well, that's all right. You know, you weren't meant to. I'm not here to slander you, here to fuss at you. Any more than I'm going to fuss at myself because I'm not 6'12" and can play basketball. No, I can't. That'd be the stupidest thing in the world. And I'm not going to sing you a beautiful song, you know, like Down From His Glory, though I'm a Pavarotti or somebody else. I can't do that. I can't preach like Brother Branham, but I did my best this morning. That's all I can do. So I trust the Lord bless you. Let's rise and be dismissed at this time. Heavenly Father, we want to close and go our way at this particular time. And as we do, I pray that I've made myself really abundantly clear now. Took a long time to do it, but then, Lord, you know, and we all know I'm not a prophet. And I'm not an intellectual giant as though I can see something in a sweeping panorama and get the whole thing. But, you know, Lord, it comes down finally to the deadline that we do get the thing in perspective and get an understanding, and I believe we have that today, where people can relax. Begin to believe this word as never before. Just walk in that light and see how the promises will begin to unfold before us and how we're laying hold of all these things. And the most important thing we know, Lord, is to lay hold of eternal life and make that confession of that word wherein eternal life lies and understand more and more how the prophet always, 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 never without fail, said Christ, who is the word, Christ, who is the word. Just not something else. Just like the Bible says he sent his word to heal him. You sent your word to heal us. The whole panoply, everything lying in it. Integrity, reconciliation, wholeness. How beautiful. How beautiful that you sent your word. Because you're behind that word and your life is in that word. That word really makes you, makes us all one. How precious. How precious are your thoughts about us. And how precious, Lord, you let us have thoughts about you. May we never, ever, ever give it up or go back on the wonderful testimony which we have in Jesus Christ today. Hear the sick amongst us, we pray, Lord. Give strength to those who need strength. And you know, Lord, most of us here do need strength in more than one way, in a lot of ways. Some of us just physical and some of us spiritual. All of us spiritual, without a doubt, all there. But we do need your help. And we thank you.